We're starting a new sermon series this morning called Faithful Presence, and there will be a book we'll be following along. If you want to do that, certainly not required, but let's get that thing rolling. Here we go.
We're trying to be very quiet here. All right. That was my introduction there. You like that there? That was pitiful. That was very good. Gosh, a little anticlimactic. How about let's pretend Heavenly Father just bless him now as he gets to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Big clap. There you go. Woo! Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And as you've heard, this morning we're beginning a new series that's going to be called Faithful Presence. It's here, and it's important what's being in the world. One of the things I just want to say is that when I come to church here, one of the things that I want to experience when I'm here is a good time, sure, but more than anything is the faithful presence of God. I want to experience God's presence. One of the greatest compliments I hear when people come to this church is that God's presence is in your church. And that means so much to me that you experience God's presence. I can experience it. You may not experience it. But the point is, all of us have come here to say, I want to sense God that's there. And it's not just in the church, though. You've come to the church to experience God's presence. But people outside the church are trying to come in and experience God's presence. Those who are out with a storm and they're laid out and their homes are destroyed, that's their main thing. It's God, come. Come and move on my life. Come and bless me that's there. And as of September 1st, more than 30,000 people are staying in emergency shelters. And I guarantee you, they are wanting to experience God's presence. If you've ever stayed in a shelter, and I know that the Dardens have, that's one of the things you don't experience so much in those shelters, is you're just, it's aloneness, it's coldness, it's a sense of displacement, a sense of difficulty in your life. Woody Allen once said this here. He said, 80% of life is just showing up. And you could probably say that's true for the Christian life. So thank you for all showing up here today. But as you show up here today, what we're looking for more than the 80% is the fullness of God coming and moving on you and showing his presence and letting you experience his presence. As we rush back and forth to work, as we go through the things in our marriage and we go through the bills and all these things, often we never stop and think of God's presence. One of the things I've been doing recently is just stopping and thanking God for the small things I have and just waiting to sense his presence. Because I've realized something. I've not even been asking for your presence. I've not been seeking you. I'm just trying to get through the day. When you got eight kids at home and sometimes 10, it's very difficult sometimes to remember, hey, it's about God's presence. It's difficult to be present. It's difficult for us to be present to God, and it's very difficult for us often to be present to each other. We're so lost in this world today. When I come home and my kids are there, they dad's home. And I always just think, why are you so excited I'm home? I'm just dad, and I'm not very fun. And they just want me to sit down and watch TV. They want me to watch wrestling with them. And God knows that he created wrestling, and his presence is there. No, it's not. But the point is they just want me to notice them. They just want me as their father to take the time to look them in the eyes and say, hey, man, good day. I hope you had a good day. And that's often where we are with God, what we want to see. And for most of us today, we see God as an individual thing. He's an individual, and he's reaching out to us as individuals. He's an individual personal relationship. But something's going on today that says more than that. That God is moving in a connection of people. That if you've come to the Vineyard long enough, you realize it's here. To experience God's presence as an individual is powerful. When we come together and we experience him moving on us as a group, something very powerful happens. Something happens powerful when we come together and he moves through us in that way. The idea that we can be present to God and he to us is not something we really think about, but we do not imagine that God often is present outside of the church either. We say, I want to experience him here, but when you're down at the restaurant, and the restaurant hoppers know this, do we often sit back and say, God is present right here between every relationship I meet? Every person I meet and making a relationship, that God is doing something there? And that the enemy is trying to do everything to tear it up, but God is going, this person and you, I'm coming and moving here. I'm moving in this restaurant. I'm moving in this park. I'm moving in this pub. And he's in the middle of the world, even as he's in the middle of myself. The sense of God's presence often, I will say, has been lost in the modern world. Even amongst my brothers and sisters who are Christian, we often get together and we never even seem to welcome or even think about the presence of God that's brought us together. And I just want to say during this time, during these weeks as we move towards Christmas, yes, Christmas, that we would begin to think about the presence of God. I don't know about you, but I often find myself even doing what I do in church 7 days a week for me, often find myself lonely, find myself empty, find myself almost exhausted, sometimes just from the things we do at church. And that is not my hope for you, and that's not my hope for myself. Rarely do we gather in our neighborhoods and experience God's presence amongst our friends in the community. Rarely do we do something outside of church that even says, let your presence come. But here comes the thing. God's people are not his people if his presence isn't with us. Because I can be all in my neighborhood all day long, and if God's presence isn't with me, I'm not his person. I'm not being used in the way he wants to use me. I'm not fulfilling. I'm not even full of who I am. I'm not fulfilling what I'm called to be without his presence. I love the story of Moses when he takes the people, God's people, out of Egypt, and he's wandering in the desert. And at one point, God says, I'm done with these people. I've had it with these people. You ever said that? Well, God said it too, so there you go. You're on good ground. And Moses just said, look, these are your people. And God says, well, you're going into the promised land. Y'all can have the promised land. You going with them, but I'm not coming. And Moses said this here. He said, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? His presence. Are you with me this morning? You understand what I'm saying? You ever been there and someone said there's just something on you, it's just touching me? Have you ever had someone notice his presence on you and what it feels like? I always remember the story when I was a young man and I worked for my father. He had a trucking company, and I rode with a guy. There are people who worked. There's a lot of people who worked at that trucking company here from those years ago. And there was a guy, I think his name was Gary. He had a big mustache, not our Gary with a big mustache. And we were driving, and he pulled over the road. He was going to buy some things to help keep him awake as we drove. And this drug dealer pulled over, jumped up in the truck on my side. And as he leaned over me, and I was only 15 years old, he looked at me, and by the way, I had a white T-shirt on, nothing on, no jewelry or anything. And he looks at me in the face as he's pulling his drugs out, and he says, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. And he just sits there, and he goes, do you have a Bible? I said, yes, I did. I'd put those little red Bibles in all the trucks back then, and I pulled one out and gave it to him. He said, thank you, and he took the Bible, did his drug deal, and he left, all right? I don't know if I had any impact that day, but I'll never forget what it felt like to be recognized as a child of God without anything to say anything other than I'm right here and his presence is on me. You've met people who have the presence of God on them. I want to say to you, that's not special. His presence is here on you moving now, and he wants to show his presence through you as an individual and through us corporately as a church. You see, God's faithful presence is what we all need. It's what every one of us need. We want money. We want our kids to go to school and get a good degree so they can take care of us. We want a lot of things. But the truth is, in the end, we all need the presence of God. I've talked to my friend who's in L.A. He played in the band with me. And he's going through a difficult time. He's lost his job. He used to be very wealthy. And he's now about a day from living on the street. And he drinks a bit too much, and I was talking to him, and he just said, well, you know, I just don't believe in that. I just believe in an energy. And I said, well, I hope that energy gets you some money so you can pay rent because you're fixing to be on the street with nothing to comfort you. my God is more than an energy. He's personal, and his presence is more than just something tingling. His presence is something that envelops me, touches me, holds me, supports me, and blesses me. What we're here for this morning, if it's not to experience the presence of God in our lives or witness the presence of God at work in the lives of others, then I wonder what we are here for. But I'm here because I say I want to sense the Holy Spirit coming and touching me today. And that can look different. My hair can be cut any way it wants. I can dress any way I want to. God's presence doesn't care. He just moves on people. And he loves us. And by the way, he doesn't just move on Christians. He's moving on everyone, calling and moving them towards the truth and towards the light. In the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about what it means for us to know that he's faithfully present to us. And that we don't doubt that even in the storm. And what it means for us to be faithfully present with his presence on us to others. David Fitch is the author of a book called Faithful Presence, and some of you know that if you've been here long, I've spoke a lot about faithful presence from a book of another guy that was called To Change the World, David Hunter Thompson. David Hunter, help me out. Thank you. Can never get Hunter Thompson, that guy, different. James Davison Hunter. Anyhow, you don't want to get Hunter Thompson's book or James Davison Hunter, but the point is David Fitch took that book and said, I like the idea of being faithfully present. But what does that really mean? And I thought, well, I like that too, because I didn't know what it meant. I just tried to be. I'd walk up to people and try to be faithfully present. And they just thought that was weird. So. But he said this here. Faithful presence names the reality that God is present in the world and that he uses a people faithful to his presence to make himself concrete and real amid the world's struggles and pain. Can you look at that above my head right now? I know someone will photograph that and put it out there, and I appreciate that, Stormy. But get that he's looking for someone who will carry that presence to let people know that he's faithful. And right now, don't you think there's a lot of people looking for that faithfulness? Be honest, this has always been God's plan from the beginning. This is what it's always been for him. He's wanted to have people experience his presence. At the very beginning, he created heavens and earth, and he put man and woman in the garden. And whether or not how you hold that story, hold this to be the utmost truth, that this is God's heart for you to understand, that he wants people to be present to him so he can be present to them. And there in the garden, he was present to them. But it wouldn't take long before the issues of our desires took away from our place of his presence. It says here in verse 5, Genesis 3, they heard, Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Are you hiding yourself in the presence of God? Because he's walking in the cool of the garden right now. He's walking in your home. He's walking in this building. What are we doing hiding? How loud can the TV go? How much distraction can we get to hide the presence of God? I'll say this here. David would say in Psalms, I don't care where you go. He's coming after you. And he's a pursuant God. He doesn't write us off. If he did, I wouldn't be standing here right now. I tried my best to escape his presence. After the flood, as violence would break out and get worse and worse, the earth would be flooded. After the flood, God comes back and begins to bring his presence into creation in a way. He goes off and he says, I am going to call someone. He calls Abraham and he says, you are going to be the leader who gets me a people that my presence can be a part of. And if you know the story of Abraham, he's called out. He's amongst a bunch of people who don't understand the true and living God. And yet he hears the voice of God and he follows him out, wandering as it was, into the to the nothingness that was there. And God, through Abraham and through all his faith, he and Sarah would end up giving them a child. Yes, they had two. He had sent one away because he messed up with Hagar. But we don't want to talk about the bad stuff. Let's talk about the good stuff. He had a son. And that son would have children. That son would have children. They would end up having a people called Israel. And theirs, you know, they would go off and get into difficulty and find themselves enslaved in Egypt. But God was still present even in the slavery. He would send another man, Moses, to pull them out. His whole point, to bring them to a land where his presence could be had. And even in that desert, he would put a tent there, a tabernacle, where he could have his presence fill the tabernacle. Come, experience me. I'm right here meeting today. And as they would come into Jerusalem, that city, they would build a temple. And his presence was with that temple. And, of course, that temple would eventually be destroyed. But before it would be destroyed, we would see this pattern of presence coming on. We would see this whole thing happening. My presence, I'll give you rest all through the Psalms. I'll give you rest with my presence. I'll come on you. I'll move on you. But the people experienced God, but they were moving further away. They were not experiencing God the way they had in the past. They kept waiting for this messianic figure, this Savior, to come and rescue them from the oppressive hand of all those who would put them underneath their boot heel, ending up with that of Rome. Matthew 1 talks about the presence that those of us in Christ understand. It says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Meaning the mark was missed in our lives, and we missed his presence. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever sit back and said, I missed his presence? Jesus comes to save us from our sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is the incarnation of God himself, God coming in the form of man and saying, I am present to you right here in the flesh. I'm right here. Can you imagine what the people must have felt? Do you think that any drug dealers ever leaned over him and said, oh, you have the presence of God? You betcha. They saw it on him. His parents saw it on him young. And he came to be God with us. God in the flesh. He declares the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, is what John 1:14 says. The amazing reality of living God cannot be missed in the presence of Jesus. And if you'll go on and know this here, that the presence becomes the whole point of everything, because very soon you will see, as you go through the Bible and you get to the end to Revelation, that the point of Revelation isn't all the cataclysmic things that right now you're pointing to of all that. Here is the point of Revelation. Revelation 21:1-3 says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and no longer was any sea. By the way, sea there, not speaking of actual water, but the sense of what their thought was the abyss, that place where you went that held you captive from the presence of God. It's not going to be there anymore. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down and out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. This becomes all that the wrapping up of everything is in. The culmination of all is that this is all I want, is to be among you and be your God and have my presence with you. You say, Raymond, you keep saying it. Yes, I do. Because, man, I want his presence in my home. I want to sense his presence, be yearning for his presence, because he's always faithful to be present. Unlike me, when I come home to my kids, I don't stop and look at how dirty the counter is. Well, I do. He doesn't. He just moves over to his children and says, I'm here. Now let's clean the counter. Guys, faithful presence has always been God's plan. It's always been his plan. He didn't make that up with Jesus. It's been laid out. It's what he wants. It's what he wants for us as a people and wants for his world, his creation. We just went through Jonah, and you saw how Jonah said, that's the bad people, and they shouldn't have anything of God. I'm the good person. And God said, you're crying out over a vine that you didn't create. Shouldn't I cry out over the people I've created? His compassion for the people he created. By the way, that word compassion means like a soft womb. Not kidding you. Freaky, but that's what it meant. Meaning, I've got you where I want you, in a soft place where you're in me and I have you and you're protected. It's God's plan, man. But there's more. I read from Ephesians 1:22 and I read from the Message. It says, at the center of all this, the center of all this creation and all that's there, God's presence in galaxies and governments, Christ rules the church. He says the church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world's peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Did you see that, Dan? This is what he uses to fill everything with his presence. Is he moving out there beyond the church? Yes, he is. But this is the culmination of what he is saying. This is the best way I show my presence. We have creation, we have trees, we have beauty. But God sends his people, as he always has wanted to say, this is what it looks like when my presence comes on a community. Ouch, that kind of hurts a little bit. The Bible's answer to the question that we've been asking, that the world is asking, is the church. And I'm going to tell you, that's scary, because I've been in church enough to know that's a scary proposition. But we didn't come here today to experience just what is in it for me. But God, let your presence touch us and move us so that we can be the presence. People are hurting. I'm hurting. You see, faithful presence is the church's main function. And that's not what it's been. It's become about filling seats, getting tithes, getting offerings, and getting people there. The best looking building in the place. I know. I'm a pastor. I contend that his faithful presence, this is what the church's job and function is demonstrating his faithful presence in our lives. And then in the lives as we go out. Now, if I'm making you feel guilty, I'm not trying to, because I'm speaking to you as much as I'm speaking to anyone else. And all the scripture memory and all the time I spend alone with him and all these things are very important to that. But if it stops there, something's missing. It's not just my family he wants me to move. It's not me just fighting for justice over here, because often I can fight for justice over here and forget the church and do it over here. I will burn out and I will miss the purpose of what God's doing. It's he's trying to use a people to demonstrate his faithful presence to the world. People will say often, they come to church and go, you know what? I'm not coming to church there because I'm not getting fed. John Wimber used to say, and he was the founder of the Vineyard and a mentor to my life, he'd say, well, it's not about you getting fed. The meat's in the street. Now, I don't know what he meant by that, but his point was that we have a purpose more than just getting fed. It is bringing the presence of God outside of this building. And here we should experience the presence of God. We should have good teaching. We should have wonderful worship. And thank you very much, Phil, for bringing us the wonderful worship today. Because there we experience that presence that just lights us up. But it doesn't stop here. John Weber used to say, everybody plays. And that wasn't saying that everyone gets a chance to play. He was saying everybody plays. Because why? Because when it comes to being faithfully present, sometimes we got issues in our life. Sometimes we go through times where we don't have it in us to be faithfully present to everybody. You ever been there? A couple of you there. That's why everybody plays, you see. I sit over here at Wilson in 75 one day. And I was just sitting there lamenting the fact that I was wore out and everyone I asked to be part of leadership and anything in this church was getting wore out and I was losing friends rather quickly. And I told God, I'm not asking friends anymore to be with me in church because I just lose my friends. And the Lord, as I sit there at that stoplight, a big V8 engine just sailed into my vision. I thought it was coming through my windshield. And the Lord said, that's what you need. It's a V8 engine. Four cylinders up while four cylinders are down. If everybody plays, it allows for us to have the downtime that is necessary in our life. Ken and Sherry, just, you know, you're ready to go out there and just hand out bottles of water to the, no, you're right now, you want to fix your house. You flooded out. And some of us didn't flood out, so this is a time for us. So as we think about the church being the presence, understand I'm not trying to get you to fake it. I'm not trying to get back and say that you don't have times where it's just about you, because sometimes it is, and maybe it is right now. But that we realize that the presence of God on us as we go and take it to the world is our main function. It's there. Everybody plays, though. But as we get into the issues of our life, and I've got my own, we won't share them because it would take much longer than what we got left. We were asked with the questions the Honorable Reverend Sleepy Ray always asks us, and I'll flip to that one if you can, forgive me. Are you walking in his shoes, or are you walking in issues? Have your issues started to own you? It's one thing for them to be something you deal with for the week, for the month, maybe even for the year. But when they become part of our identity and all that we are, we've been taken away from the presence of God and taken away from what he's using us for. I don't care what you've done. You don't have time to be ashamed of your past. I don't have time for it. The future is very difficult as we look ahead, guys. You don't have time to be ashamed of the past. Learn from the past. But let's stand up and walk. If you're waiting to get clean, you're waiting to get everything worked out before you become the person who demonstrates the presence of God, then you'll wait forever. Because nothing shows the presence of God more than a man or a woman who are walking out of problems in their life and walk in the righteousness of God. And people sit back and go, wow. When you see Susan Bennett being a nice person and demonstrating the presence of God, you're like, well, yeah. Right? But when Gordon does, you go, that's God. I'll flip back to that verse. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this here. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? That where he used to live in that temple and say, come to the temple, come to the temple. Now we are that. And we go out and take it, man. Because the meat's in the street. And that's where we're getting fed. Because that's where the function of the church is going. Is that so we can grow the church? No. Will it grow the church? I hope it does. But the point is, that's not even why we do. Being faithfully present doesn't mean that I'm going to get what I want out of someone. It means I'm bringing the presence of God to someone. And that's what it means. I don't have any guarantee. Don't need one. God had no guarantee when he came to me. And I thank him that he continued to walk in that with me. Well, Matthew 28:19 says, you go and you make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of your age, of this age, of the age. Now, have I said that? I want us to look at something real quick. Go and make disciples means the teaching, but the way we go and make disciples is through disciplines that are there. We have plans, structure. And some of us really don't like plans and structures. We like to just let it go. And believe me, that's fine because I'm one of those people. But John Wimber used to say this here. He used to say, you know, you want life, an amoeba's got a lot of life, but it's got no structure. And it just lays there. Hi, how you doing? Oh, he couldn't even wave at you. Some of you are going, that sounds like my husband. Yeah. But he'd say, but a corpse has lots of structure, but no life. We're not trying to chase out life. We're trying to find ways that a structure by which we can work together. And when we look at this here, faithful presence is demonstrated through the disciplines in all areas of life. And as I talk about those disciplines, the spiritual disciplines are there, and we've talked about, but there's some disciplines by which we as a church can sit back and say, this is what we want to do and what we want to walk through. There's some disciplines that were disciplines that Christ spoke about, everyday disciplines, not just individual disciplines that are done on Sunday, but everyday disciplines by which we can sit back and say, this is what we want to look at and we want to gauge ourselves with. That's what we're trying to do. Demonstrated through disciplines in all areas of life. I would say it's best demonstrated. I want to sit back and say the presence of God doesn't just get demonstrated in these disciplines, but as a body moving together to have some structure by which we can do that. And as we look at this book that's Faithful Presence, as Sarah and David Fitch has written, and we look at, as we realize this here, that he's going to speak of seven disciplines that he says are Christ disciplines that we can look at to walk in that way. And that's what we're going to be talking about in the next weeks that are coming. And this is what he writes, disciplines of the Lord. You'll see them at the bottom of your little sheet there. Disciplines of the Lord table. I'm not going to preach those today. You'll see them. Reconciliation, proclaiming the gospel, being with the least of these. All these are things that we've always held up. Being with children. I don't like that one. I'm kidding. For those who don't know me, I do have 11 children. So, discipline of fivefold ministry and discipline of kingdom prayer. And we'll unpack those as we go in the weeks that are coming. And as we look at these disciplines that are there, these are entry points into his kingdom. They open up space for God to rearrange the world, starting in our social relationships that are there. And these disciplines invite us into what God is actually already doing in the world. He's already moving on people. And so there are three areas we're going to be doing that in. And let me give them to you real quick as we kick this off. The three areas you'll see these disciplines arranged in that are there, and again, this is also on your notepad, church, which means this is where we do these disciplines together. When we do the Lord's Supper here, just an example, we do that together. So when we say these disciplines are iterated in the church or done in the church, they're done with us together. And then the neighborhood, that's when we are the host. When we do things, hey, let's invite the neighborhood to come. Let's invite all our friends, and they'll come, and we'll host them and show them that, maybe in our homes or have them over for dinner or something like that. But then there's the third one, the world or the marketplace. That's where we go, and we are the guest. And that's very scary. I know when Bobby and I used to tour under Sleepy Rain, the Mighty Blood, we went all over Europe. And when we played Europe, we rarely played churches. We played pubs, and we played a lot of concert halls, and most people were not Christians. We were in their house, and we walked in a way that demonstrated that. And I'll never forget one night. It was a beautiful place, and as we looked up, it had three sets of balconies, a beautiful hall. And I remember playing, and we played How Great Thou Art. Now, I did it like maybe Otis Redding would have did it had he had ever done it. And I remember when we stopped, it was dead silence. And they like to clap in Switzerland. That's all they like to really kind of do, to show emotions. If you're from Switzerland, forgive me. But the thing is, nobody did anything. And then you just heard the sniffling and the crying. And then people came down and said, "You're Christians." I said, "Yeah." We couldn't tell them that. And they said, "There's never been a Christian in this concert hall ever. They don't allow Christians in here." I said, "Well, we just did How Great Thou Art." That's what I'm talking about, where the presence of God just comes off. Not a facade. Not where we're trying to bait and switch. Not where we're trying to get our numbers up so everyone can feel good about themselves. So that we see the presence of God coming in our lives and extending out. Jesus is the host at the center of this space. He's the one who's saying, "Come, All you come to me. Come and move. Come and move right here, Holy Spirit. Come and move on our entire way of life. Would you stand with me now? Now, just to reiterate again to say today, I feel it's been God's desire to come and bring his presence into our lives. His whole point wasn't trying to send Jesus to make us clean enough so he could like us. It was to come and bring us into his presence and to bring us to a place where we could love him and be involved in that relationship. That God's presence, faithful presence, has always been his plan. And he's pursuing us and he's pursuing the world. And as we gather here today, in the pain that many of us have gone through, in the losses that we have went through in this storm, God is saying, I'm present to you to deal with what you're going through. And I'm present with you all to bring that presence beyond this place. And it's my desire, as we submit even to each other, to see his presence strongly here right now and for the days to come. So I say, come Holy Spirit. I just thank you so much that your presence pursued me in my own life. As much as I try to run, you came and you got me. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that at my lowest, you were there and that you're near to the brokenhearted. I thank you, Heavenly Father, when times was good, that it was you who was giving me the blessings and your presence was strong there. I thank you for the way that you have come and loved and held me in your arms. I thank you that you're here right now, even when I don't know if I feel you at all. And that it's been a rough go this year, Lord. But your presence is here, and I thank you for that. And I'm asking that you come and show your presence to us, your manifest presence in this place. That we come to experience your presence and become those who are carriers of your presence. So right now, even as I say, come Holy Spirit, right now in this place, begin to fall. Some of our hearts have received this message with intrepidation, and you've just sat back and said, I just don't know. Just say yes, Lord. Just move on me. Yes, Lord. I trust you with my life. I trust you that your plans for my life are better than my dreams for my life. And I trust you, Heavenly Father, that you want to use me, even as you heal me, as you do it to me, that you do it through me. And we say, Lord, let your signs and wonders increase in this place for healing, for reconciliation, for relationships to renew, forgiveness, friendships, breaking the power of the enemy. No more demonic activity breaking into our lives, but you coming right now and just flushing that out and letting your presence freely come. Just come, Holy Spirit. And as we come today, some of us have said, it's just been so long since I've felt that. I invite you to the front. I invite you to the front. I'm just going to pray, Lord, let your presence just come on us. And you don't have to talk to anyone. If you don't want to, that's fine. Just come and feel free to gather at the steps, as it were. We're going to be going over next door to enjoy. Are we gathering next door? No. Aren't we? No? Pantry, food pantry, that's right. But you still have time for that. Just come. Let your presence just come here. Just come. Your waves and breakers have rolled over us, but Heavenly Father, we say, I will praise you. I will worship you. I say yes. I say yes. Use me as your presence.
Even as I trust you to fill me and take care of my needs, I say, yes, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. If you're here today and you're also struggling in life, physical pain, financial pain, spiritual pain, relationship, well, I just want the Spirit to come and begin to bring healing now in this season. Please don't leave here without prayer. Come on down. We'll take the time to show love. As you come, I'm going to pray right now for your presence to come. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Let your presence fall in this place. Let your presence come. Right here in the front, right even as we're gathered, I just say, just come. Move in this area powerfully. Restoration of dreams, restoration of hopes that have been washed away. Let newness come for all who've lost something in this storm. Let your presence come and begin to heal, Lord, and give hope where the enemy has come and brought hopelessness and fear of loss and destruction. That you restore all, Lord God. Let me not lose a sense of your presence in this. Come, Holy Spirit. Even more now. Let not the losses take away the gains of your Spirit. Let me not give up hope. More, Lord. More, Lord. More. More. And as I bless you now, some of you may still come forward and want prayer at this time. We'll be here for you. Please do not leave here without. You can just come to the steps even after we're gone and just sit and wait on his presence. And we will honor that for you. And I bless you in the name of the Father who has, oh, he's wanted you so long. He's pursued you since the beginning of time. I bless you with his presence. Even as it's come in the one of Jesus Christ, I bless you in the name of Jesus, who's come to take away the sins of the world, that we might experience in full totality the presence of God. And I bless you in the name of the Holy Spirit, who's right here moving, and you sense, some of you, it's the first time you felt it, something warm moving just deep in you right now. And you don't want it to stop because it's like a blanket over you, and you've not felt this love and this touch in a while. Come, Holy Spirit. Let your presence be there. And if you feel that, you come forward and let's just continue to work that process by saying, more, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Let your presence come. More of you. Be blessed in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. We'll be praying here in the front. God bless.